Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we were in a series on the gifts of the Spirit, not saying we won't pick that up, but tonight I just felt led to go in a different direction. And I've learned, not much I've learned over the years, but some things I have learned, that following the Holy Ghost is best.
Amen.
That way there'll be utterance, it won't be forced. And I just can't get my spirit, it seems to be camped out where we were on Sunday, which is Mark 11:24. We'll go back there and pray as you're turning pages, and feel free to keep turning them as I'm praying, but I want to make sure to ask God to be a part of this service. You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
So I'm just going to ask him to be a part of this service. God likes to be included.
Amen.
Amen. Mark 11:24. Father, we're just so thankful and so grateful. Father, it's such an honor. I can't even really put it into words, Father, how I feel in my heart to be able to share and minister the Word of God to such precious people. People who I love so much, would give my life for, but Father, who you did give your life for. And Father, you're just, we're the apple of your eye. You love us so much. And Father, this is how you get help to us. You said if we would know the truth, and you were talking about the Word, it would set us free. You said the Word is like a light, it's like a lamp, it guides us, it directs us. So help us tonight, help us to get to where we need to go, to say what needs to be said and to do what needs to be done. And Father, always you'll get the praise. This is not about the name on the sign. This is not about the minister standing behind the pulpit. This is always about Jesus. It's always about the Holy Ghost. It's always about the Father and the Word. And we'll always make sure to exalt those things, Father, not a man. It is all because of you, Father. We give you that praise and glory. Thank you for hitting bullseyes tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Mark 11:24, very familiar verse, of course. It says, therefore I say unto you, aren't you glad he was talking to you?
Amen.
He wasn't just including certain people. He was including everyone that would read this. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I was trying to figure out what songs to do tonight. And I, again, with music even, too, try to be led by the Holy Ghost and the flow of the service. Not saying I've hit the bullseye every single time on that. Music's not my strong suit, but that song came. We haven't done that song in a while. Lord, you hear my prayer. But that goes along with this verse, the prayer of faith, where we can pray and walk out of that place knowing things are changing. They have changed. We just might not have seen them in the manifest in the natural yet. But I love Mark 11:24. I told you Sunday that when I discovered this verse, when I had used it before, but not really in the literal sense and really taken it as serious as I did when I needed that truck money and the tuition money at school, and I used that prayer and it worked, and I thought, my God, what do I have on my hands? I was excited because I had been in life through tough things. And had been in places where I needed money and needed healing and needed things. And now I thought, there's my answer. The prayer of faith. Or you could say it this way, the prayer to change things. What an awesome thing. Brother Hagin, if you don't know, one of these times we need to do, I believe, in visions for a book of the month. It's just phenomenal. But in that book, he talks about his testimony, how he was on the bed of affliction. It was incurable heart disease and things, and just was pretty much paralyzed in his bed and couldn't get anybody to tell him anything good news. And he got a hold of a Bible and got a hold of this verse, and he got to reading it, and it changed everything. His health, his ministry was built upon this verse. And so I'm excited to go even further in this verse, because you all need to get a hold of this verse. It needs to become a staple in your life. Really, this is how we receive anything that we need, that comes our way. We receive it through the prayer of faith, through believing God. Faith is our avenue into what we need. And this is what it's done, through the prayer of faith. And so it's good to become skillful in this area. And for some reason, the Holy Ghost is emphasizing this right now. But it says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And we saw that there was three steps that we had to desire something, which I don't, for me, it's not hard to desire money when I need it. It's not hard to desire healing when I need it. It's not hard to desire peace or protection or favor when I need it. So that one doesn't seem to be a hard step. It says, when you pray, well, that's just communication with the Father. That doesn't seem hard. Some people do have trouble with it, you know, maybe if you're quiet or more reserved, but I'll tell you what, you better cultivate that relationship with God, you know, step out, talk to Him. Like, I just talk to God like I talk to anybody, you know, I have reverence for Him, understandably, but I don't light some candles and change the inflection in my voice, and, you know, I just talk to Him, you know, and I don't, always not down on my knees. That's hard to do when you're driving, hard to do when you're walking in Walmart, you know, I'm just communicating with God all the time, and there are times I'm just reverent on my face to Him, but then there's just times I'm just walking in the woods, just talking to Jesus, you know, and so that's really not that hard of a step. For some people, it's difficult. You need to renew your mind to get over that praying part. But the third part of it, it says, when you pray what? You have to do something. When you pray, which remember now, when you're praying, for example, if you have a financial need or a physical need, when you're praying means you're smack dab in the middle of that problem. That's why you're praying. That's why you're there in that position to release your faith, because something's not right or something is needed, right? It might not always be bad. You know, I told about desiring to have a connection to the Midwest, to hunt deer like I've never seen before. Well, that's not wasn't a bad place, but for a desire, it was a need for a desire. So when you're in that place, whatever you're believing for, obviously the reason you're believing for it is because it's not manifested in the natural. It's lacking. It's not there. But the Bible says when you pray, you are to believe that you received it. That means in the face or in the midst of the healing not being there, the finances not being there, the favor, whatever, not being there, fill in the blank for your situation, when it looked like no way on earth that tuition was going to come, when it looked like there was no, I don't know anybody in the Midwest to hook up with, to get, when it looks like there's no natural reason why it would work out, you're believing that you got it. And that's where really a lot of people struggle and stumble with the prayer of faith. Is they can't get over that fact of believing you got it when you released your faith for it. And what's interesting is when I was in Oklahoma in that apartment at Rhema, I got to the place. And everybody can get to the place. Yeah. It might take you doing something to get to the place, right? You know, you want to go climb a mountain. Well, everyone would like to be at the top of that mountain, but it's going to take some doing to get there, right? And anyone can get to that place where they have that faith, where they release it, and they believe they got it. I was so convinced that tuition money was coming, I told you, Lord, you could put it in this Cabela's catalog in the morning. And I knew He wasn't going to do that, but I was just showing, I'm that convinced, Father. I know this money's coming. I was, and there was no natural sign. It wasn't sending hints to my family, wasn't sending hints around me, just God knew. See, when you're really in faith, other people, you don't need to send out the hints. Really, faith hints, all they are is just a sign that you're in doubt and unbelief. Amen. You know, a lot of people will do that. They'll tell people they're going, oh, going through this, and then say, I'm believing God, and just kind of drop and do, just be careful with that kind of stuff, right? You don't, we don't ever want to manipulate or anything, and when we trust God, He can bring it to pass just as good as anyone else can, and if not, and better, obviously. And so I believed I received it when I prayed. I was convinced. I was sold out to the fact. And it happened. And notice the Bible says, believe that you receive them. And guess what? If you'll do that, and you'll have them. Amen. How awesome. Thank you, Father. That's really nice of you. If I just do my three, you'll do the fourth, which is the hardest part, and it'll happen. And you don't even have to wonder. He said it would. Praise God. And so desiring, praying, but then believing you receive it, that's a requirement. In having the things that need to change, it's a requirement. You can't get it without it.
That's right.
You can't get. That's why we always say that how your life turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. God's always 100% in faith, ready to believe, ready to bless, but the people aren't always that way.
That's right.
We see scriptures that give us precedence on that. But, you know, I go to Canada a few times a year, maybe to bear hunt. My previous bear hunts have been bird watching. Well, you know what? I don't even know if I saw even a bird. To finally be honest with you, I was like, where'd they put me? Is this like that I transport into some world where there's no living activity from the time I hunt? The only thing that was bare was the woods. That's all. And but anyways, I go to Canada. I go there for Pastor Nancy conference at Pastor Craig Fields Church. And there's requirements to get in to the country. I don't know, are they still letting people with enhanced licenses go? I don't know, but I know you need a passport or an enhanced license. You can't just, well, I got a nice smile, and I'm a good person, and try to talk that border agent into letting you go through. It's not going to work unless you have the proper requirements.
Right.
Well, it's the same with God. We can, well, Lord, I love you a whole lot, and Lord, I'm really doing my best, and Lord, I'm really trying hard, and God says, I'm sorry, faith is the requirement to enter into the promised land. Your promised land, faith is a requirement. So let's just have faith and go in. Instead of complaining about it, let's just have faith and go in. So we need that requirement. And if you remember how I prayed, I really tried to show you practically what I did during that time. And I'm still doing it to this day. I had a need. I brought it before God. My need, I needed that money. I knew it was a need. Well, he said, and in the Word, Philippians 4:19, that he would supply all my needs.
Right.
So if tuition was a need, that's an all, and I knew it met that requirement or that qualification. So I just got down on my knees. I said, Lord, this is, you said this in the Word. And that's how I was talking to him. I said, and you shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. And I know you meant it, Father. I wasn't being cocky or sarcastic. I was just, it was really kind of helping my faith. To hear myself say that was building my faith up. I don't need to tell God that you shouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. Because he already said it, that means he meant it.
Amen.
But when I say stuff like that, I'm just proclaiming for myself, but also with the devil to hear it. Listen, I want you to know I believe this stuff. It just helps me, you know. And so I said, Father, you shouldn't have put it in there if you didn't mean it. And Father, I see your word, and either you're a liar or you're not. And I know he's not.
Right.
And so I said, Father, then according to Mark 11:24, I thank you for this money.
Amen.
Now that's praying. And then after I released my faith, I said, Father, thank you, I got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was shouting in my apartment, doing a happy dance. I'm serious, going around. Thank you, Father, for the money. I was happy. I went from a place of worry and wondering to, I got it, I got it, I got it.
Yeah.
Rejoicing, rejoicing, it's coming, the money's coming. I don't know how, but it's going to show up. It's going to show up. Thank you, Father, I receive it. It's on its way. Well, you could say to believe that you receive it when you pray it is a bold thing, right? You could say that's bold. It was bold in that apartment to go around there, chest pumped out, head up, proclaiming, no money around, looking like I could get in trouble at school, wondering what's going to happen, to I got the money. That's boldness. To go to a place of prayer and request something from God and to come out of that place knowing you got it no matter what, that's bold. That's boldness. To know I got it in prayer. You can't see it. There's no natural sign of it. But I got it in prayer. That's boldness. Well, boldness is what the Father wants. He wants you to be in that place. Go with me to Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I'm trying to help you more with Mark 11:24, a verse that's changed my life and will change yours too. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. To get in a place of prayer where when you say it, you know it's done. Oh, man, that's bold. To walk away from that place knowing you got whatever you need. Whatever you prayed, it's yours. That's bold. Well, let's see about that boldness, because some people would take that. Well, I'll just tell you what religious people would say. The denominations that I grew up in, I'm not saying all denominations, but I'm saying the ones that I'm familiar with, they would say that's arrogance. They would say that that's kind of being cocky. They would say that that's really being quite, really kind of assuming a lot, or just kind of, you know, stepping out into an area that, wow, are you sure you want to go to God like that? And that's what they would say, but the Word backs up the way I prayed.
Yeah.
It says in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, it says, let us, therefore, come boldly or confidently, could say, unto where? The throne of grace. Well, we can't physically go to the throne of grace right now unless God would take us there.
Right.
You know, translate our bodies or through a vision or the discerning of spirits, things like that. And when we go in Mark 11:24, therefore I say, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, who are we praying to? The Father. Where is he seated? On the throne. So when it says come to the throne, he's talking about a place of prayer, a place of communication with God. He says, when you come to me, where I am at the throne of grace, he says, come with boldness.
Amen.
Confidence. Like you belong there. Like you know what you're coming for, and you're going to walk away with what you need. He says to do that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So notice he's saying, I want you to even be bold in times when you're lacking. Well, one of those things would be forgiveness. Forgiveness, when you're in sin and need forgiveness, forgiveness is a need. Well, you need mercy and grace. He says, even come boldly in those times. Praise God. What an invite. What an invite. Man, that is awesome. But you know, I'll tell you, if I got invited to a party, and on that party it said, no, we've designated for you to bring this to the party, and everyone's expecting me to show up with the hamburger buns. and I walk in, and everybody's got the hamburgers ready, and everything else is ready, and there's no buns. I guess we're having a low-carbohydrate meal here tonight. I'd be kind of, I don't want to say ashamed, but, you know, embarrassed or kind of, you know, want to just kind of hide under the radar. Well, that's the way that most people pray. They don't bring to the party what God has said to bring to the party. He says, bring boldness when you come to me. So if that's a requirement, I'll tell you what, the majority of the Body of Christ prayers are just unscriptural as it is. Because they're coming from a place of timidness, shyness. They're coming from a place of far below. I mean, I just heard recently someone utter the words, not in this church, that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I thought, what, then you don't know the word because the blood of Christ made you worthy.
Amen.
Brother Hagin tells about the time that he was at a vision of Jesus, fell at his feet like everyone would, and he said, Jesus, he kept saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. Jesus said, stand to your feet. My blood made you worthy. The blood. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Well, that just shows you that somebody's already coming from a place of not boldness, not what's required, right? Or they come with a, oh, I know there's other things that are more important in the world, God. You ever heard people say that? As if God can't handle everything. I've heard people say to me, well, you know, God, actually, when I bought my vehicle, and I understood what the guy was saying. He was saying, you know, he said, it makes me mad when people tell me they have to go pray about the vehicle they're going to get. As if God, well, see, he didn't have a revelation of God as his father. Yes, God cares about, oh, there's a fountain up here. Yes, God cares about all the starving kids in all the other countries. Yes, God cares about all the major world issues that are going on. But God also cares about you being blessed and getting the right vehicle. And there doesn't have to be a trade-off. It doesn't have to be, well, oh, you're so, you know, no. See, because I know a lot of people that have made little decisions, made the wrong decisions, and it sets them back financially or things don't work out. And so he didn't have a revelation of it. Well, and see, that's most people, oh, God, you have more important things to do than worry about me, then you don't have a revelation. When I go to prayer, I go to the prayer with the thought of, listen, I am number one to you. Just so you know, it's true. You all can fight for number two. We've already talked about this many times, but I've already got that number one slot tied up. Remember the guy I was telling I had preached on pride 1 week? He was here. Next week, I said that. I said, I'm God's favorite. Well, when I say that, I really believe it for myself, but I know it's not true. But I believe it. You know, that's kind of a weird thing. To me, that's how I approach God. And he said, man, Pastor, I'm struggling. Last week you talked about pride, how bad it was, and this week you're telling me you're God's favorite. That seems like pride. I'm like, brother, I was just kidding. It was just a joke. God loves us all the same. I'm just saying that's the mentality I want you to have. I want everybody to fight me for that number one spot. You know what I mean? Not physically, because I probably wouldn't last a long time. I could take him. Probably not for long, but I could take him. And But anyways, most people don't go that way to prayer. Boldness. They come shy, wondering, oh, I don't know, I'm this way, I'm that way, I've done this wrong and that. And they don't show up the way God's required them to show up. He says, come, if you're going to come to me, come boldly.
Amen.
Well, that's boldness to me to say, Father, you said it, you're going to do it, I pray, release my faith, and I got it. That's boldness. But that's what God wants from us. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
It was a couple weeks ago when it was still snow on the ground, and Caleb, well, it was 2 weeks ago, I think, on Friday, he had been asking about going outside. Well, it was really cold that week, and then on Friday it was supposed to be like in the 40s, and we had seen that in the long-range forecast, and I kept asking, if we go outside and play in the snow? I said, well, if the forecast stays, we're going to go outside Friday, buddy. And I remember I picked him up from school that Friday. That was the day we went tubing. And he came running out of the class, you know, not afraid to talk to me, not afraid to, oh, Dad might be busy or not. He came right out and said, Dad, are we going outside today? Just bold. Why? Because he has a revelation of that his dad's not a liar to him. And see, and that's, as a dad, that's what I want from him.
Amen.
I don't want him tiptoeing around. I don't want to be a person that people have to walk on eggshells around me, especially my kids, you know, fly off at the handle and just be so afraid to, you know, I don't know, maybe you've been there, maybe you are that way, or maybe you know someone that's the way it is. That's a terrible place to be. And that's sure not, as a loving father, how I want my kids to be around me. I want them to come out and be excited about something that I told them we're going to do. And that blessed me. It blesses God when we actually believe him. When we, you know what blesses God? When I say, Father, you said it. Now you said it. I believe your truth, so I'm going to take you at your word, and you're going to give me that tuition money. God's not up there going, you arrogant little son of mine. Saying, thank you, finally somebody takes me at my word and believes me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Now, I don't go with the Message Bible too much. It's more of like, I've used it a little bit, but just to kind of explain to people, it's more of kind of like a paraphrase where, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's different, some people, the reason I say this is people have come up to me recently about different translations in the Bible. Let me just real quick, just give you a quick overview if you need more help with this. People say, what version should I use? Well, it's important to know that there's word-for-word translations, there's thought-for-thought translations, and then there's what they call like a paraphrase, which the Message Bible is a paraphrase where the author, which I believe his name was Eugene Peterson, they take what they think the author was trying to say. Well, those are good and they can supplement, but they should not be your main. The main study tool that you want would be a word-for-word translation, which would be King James, New King James, Amplified. There's other ones. And then even like, then there's thought-for-thought translations, which are good, like the NIV and different ones like that. But always make sure your main study one is a word-for-word and have these other things to supplement. Because some of these other things, you'd be shocked at some of the things that they have taken the word and twisted it, or even left things blatantly out. And so I just mentioned that because we do mention the Message Bible, but in Hebrews 4:16 it says that up there, and we see that. And then the Message Bible says this, and to me it goes along with this. It doesn't violate what the word is. But if you want more help on that, give me a call or whatever, and I'll help you. Because I have the main Bible I use is the King James, not that you have to, but and then I have all these other study things around me that maybe sometimes help me understand it a little better. But listen to what the Message Bible says about Hebrews 4:16. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. That doesn't violate that. Boldly go get what we need. I love that. Let's walk right up to him, just like Caleb did. No fear coming to daddy. Just running right out. Didn't even say, hi, Daddy, love you. Daddy, are we going today? All right, yes, we are. Praise God. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. So that was a long introduction, but the rest won't be as long. I want to help you with your boldness tonight, because Mark 11:24 is a prayer of boldness. Mark 11:24 is not just, you know, throwing Hail Marys up to heaven and just hoping it lands in the Father's arms, or, you know, you have a bullseye down there and you're shooting, hoping. No, Mark 11:24 is going to prayer, hitting the bullseye, and knowing when you come out of that place, it is done. There's no question about it. It is finished, and that thing is on its way to show up in the natural realm. That's what Mark 11:24 is. And so I want to help you with that tonight. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Don't mean to get too teachy. You know, a lot of those stuff like the translate, all that stuff's Bible school type of stuff, but it does help to mention that sometimes, and the things about the different translations and stuff like that. But 1 Corinthians, did I say? No, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, this is Paul writing this. He says, for all the promises of God. Aren't you glad it's plural?
Yes, amen.
Do you know that there are denominations that just have one promise? Just Jesus dying on the cross and going to heaven. Now, thank God for that promise, but my Bible says there's an is, promises. Yes. That means there's more than one.
God.
Healing, long life, protection, prosperity, freedom from fear, anxiety, depression, peace and joy and favor and blessing. Those are promises of God that when we enter into salvation and become children of the King, listen, if you get adopted into Donald Trump's family and your last name's not Trump, things are different. There's a whole lot of opportunities open to you that wasn't before. When you become the child of the King, a whole lot of things open up to you that never before. When you're in the world, the only help you have for sickness is medicine and man. But there's times that medicine and man won't help you. Children of God have God. When you're in the world, when it comes to money, the only thing that they're there to help you is man's ways and trying to figure it out yourself. But when you're with God, supernatural. See, that's what's awesome is God's calculator has a button that the natural calculator doesn't have. It's called the supernatural button.
Amen.
You press that thing and the numbers don't seem to work out, but it seems to work out. It's called the supernatural button. Well, that's what Christians have. When you become a child, so promises of God. Paul said all of them, every single promise that God has put in His Word for His children, the answer is yes, and in Him, amen. The word amen means so be it. That's why when we get done praying, in Jesus' name, amen, you're saying in Jesus' name, so be what I just prayed. You're stamping that with faith. He said all the promises of God are yes. Every single one of them are yes. Every single promise are yes. Paul wrote that. He said every single answer is yes. And don't you find that people, when you don't know the answer to something, and maybe you're asking for something big, and your mind's big, see, you gotta expand your horizons on who God is. He's the Ephesians 3:20 God, and if you don't know what that is, you better go meditate on that verse for a long time. Because it says He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. He blows your mind of even what you can even see. You say, I could think I'd want this for my life. And God will say, I'll do more than you could even grasp your mind around.
Amen.
Stop putting God in that what they call the box, right?
Yeah.
He's so big and wonderful.
Great.
And don't we get maybe a little bit timid or shy when we go to somebody, or maybe it's a family member when we were younger, and we're asking for something that in our mind may seem like a sacrifice or something big, and we don't know what their answer is going to be. So that kind of hurts. Maybe we don't even ask because we don't know what the answer would be. I mean, how many of you have, maybe just even as an adult, you're afraid to ask someone because you don't know what their answer is going to be, right? But if you always knew the answer was yes, you just come right in.
Sure.
Paul's telling you that every single thing that God has put in His Word, God's already saying to you, oh yeah, it's yours. Yes, have it. Yes, have it. That's the revelation we need, buddy. That's the revelation we need. That all the promises of God in Him are yes. God's already said, here's what my answer is to you. Don't worry about when you come to me if you can have it or not. If I said it, it's yours. Every bit of healing, every bit of prosperity, every bit of peace, every bit of joy, protection. God says, yep, it's yours. Hallelujah. But for Paul to say that, for Paul to know, because obviously that means whenever Paul would go to pray about anything, he'd know I got it because God already said yes. He'd have to be solid in two areas. And those are the two areas that I want to help you tonight. Number one, Paul was solid in the Word and what God had said, which is the same thing, the Word. For you to be bold in Mark 11:24 to go in there to receive and to know, you got to be solid in what God has said in the Word. That's number one, okay, to help you with your boldness. Paul was solid in the Word and what God said. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Numbers 23, and I'm going to get a little teachy on you again here. I don't get there too much because, man, if I dive into that, I might not ever find my way back out. Because I really don't have that much of a... someone like Pastor Tim is a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I don't stand in the office of a teacher. We teach sometimes, but man, if I were just to go in and just try to just do teaching with no preaching or no revelation and just inspiration at the moment, that's how I kind of go by and work. Oh man, we'd be bored out of our minds. We would be begging for service to end. I'm just telling you, that's what happens when you don't stick with the grace. But there are elements of it that need to come on at times. But Numbers 23 and verse 19. Remember, now, Paul, for Paul to be bold. Now remember, most people think Paul wrote Hebrews. Some scholars say he didn't. Some scholars say he did. Some scholars say we don't know. Regardless, it's in the Bible, so Paul would agree with it. He would agree with it. Even if he is not the writer, he would agree with Hebrews 4:16. It says, boldly come. Well, it's also bold to say all the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, he was solid in the word. What do I mean by that? Psalm 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? The answer is that, of course not. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he's spoken it, it'll come to pass. Well, why am I bringing that verse up? Well, we don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was talking about his past life. He says, concerning as touching the law. Now, the law, or the Jewish law, is the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. That's the first five books of the Bible, or also known as the Torah, or what the Greek translation would be the Pentateuch. Don't ask me to spell that, because it's not going to happen. But anyways, that's the Greek translation of the Greek word for the first five books of the Bible is the Pentateuch. The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament. Why am I telling you this? Because the Bible says about Paul, as touching the law, in Philippians 3, when he's talking about his past life, he said a Pharisee. Now Pharisees, when he's saying that, as touching the law, to be a Pharisee, you'd have to be so skilled in the first five books of the Bible. Well, Numbers is one of the first five books of the Bible. So Paul would have known this verse inside and out. So for Paul to be that bold to say all the promises of God are yes and amen, for him to be that bold, he would have had to have been so acquainted with this verse to say, wait a minute, if God has said it, it's absolutely 100% coming to pass. To be skilled the way he was in that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so Romans 10:17, Paul also wrote, which says what? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. What's he saying? That boldness, that faith is going to come by the repetitive over and over again hearing the word. Just like I said in point number one, to be that bold Christian, you are going to have to be skilled in what God has said. Because what God has said is what you can have. Hebrews 6 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6 and verse 13. You see, I didn't just need tuition one day and then just pray and receive it. No, I spent time finding out exactly the will of God for that situation. And then I had no doubts. Because you can't launch from the prayer of faith from a platform of doubt and unbelief. You can pray all you want, but if you don't believe when you receive it, you won't get it. You can say all you want, but if you have doubt in your heart, the mountain won't move. That's what the Bible says. Amen. You got to believe it before you pray it, when you pray it, and after you pray it. Yep. You can't just throw out empty words and hope that it's just going to stick. Belief makes it stick. Amen. Well, when I went through that test and trial, my financial test and trial, I didn't just all of a sudden start confessing the word and release the prayer of faith one time and then confess the word. No. I got into messages. I dug up all the messages my pastor preached on finances, all the verses I knew about finances, all the books I had on finance, and just meditate on it so I knew exactly what my God had said I could have. Because my God said, all the promises are yes and amen. The only problem with the promises become a reality in our life is our belief. They're not on his end. He's already said, yes, yes. It's kind of like when I had my cousin move in with me. She's so timid and so shy. And I mean, this went on for months. It started to annoy me. I used to just, oh man, the mean things I do. She's a senior in high school. Oh, we had so much fun. One time I locked her out of the house in the winter and just stood there with the curtain open and she's in her bare feet. She's, Pastor Mike, let me in. No. This is too much fun. I know it's awful. If she was here tonight, oh, she could testify. We should just have her here sometime. Testify all the mean things. I was born again, saved, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled. This is the funnest thing ever. The mean things I'd do to her when she'd sleep and stuff. One time she was sleeping and just put a whole big chunk of peanut butter on her hand, rubbed a feather under her nose, and while she was sleeping, and just, Pastor Mike, she'd start crying. And so this was great. I thought it was wonderful. Why did I even bring her up? Someone help me here. What was I saying? I don't even know. Timid, thank you for someone. And maybe this is why she was timid, but first day she got there, said, what, she moved in with us for about a year, so whatever's here is yours. I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 months later, she's saying, Pastor Mike, do you care if I get a snack? The answer's yes. It's yes. Just go. It's yes. Go. Stop asking me if you're going to spend the night outside. Hebrews 6 and verse 13. Oh man, I just pinch her. Oh, I had fun messing with her. She was a good sport, praise God. But you know what? Now she's not going to do this out of coercion. Now, maybe besides her husband, but you know, if she'll say, who's your favorite person in the whole wide world? She'll say, it's you. She just, because it helped her. So, all those mean things I did, there were some good things too, praise God. So, Hebrews 6 and verse 13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. What was the promise? You're going to have a boy. Praise God. Listen to what the Amplified says. For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater whom to swear by. What am I saying is God's word is solid. God's word is the solid rock with which we can stand on in the prayer of faith when we need money and healing and money are nowhere to be found, and actually everything that you can feel, see, touch, taste, hear, and are experiencing point to not getting your blessing, not getting your money, not getting your healing. The Word is the rock that we can stand on when the storms of doubt and unbelief are blowing and raining on us. We're standing firm because God said it.
Hallelujah.
There's a shirt that I saw that God said it. That settles it. God said it, that settles it. Hallelujah. We see people that were brought into miraculous things just because they believed the Word of God. And then we see people that were kept out of what God had for them just because they couldn't believe the Word of God. It wasn't the situation or the circumstance that kept them out. It was the fact that they could not believe God. They couldn't believe Him. And he's saying, when I say it, there's no one greater to swear by because I'm not a man that should lie. I've already told you all the promises are yes. There's no one more truthful than me, he's saying.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Then we'll go on to point 2 and close this thing up. 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now, what's awesome is that the Bible says a spiritual law will take place by getting and immersing yourself in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So if you are struggling with believing God for your healing, if you are struggling with believing God to meet your needs, the Bible says if you will do the part of hearing and hearing, the faith will come. What's the faith? The belief. The belief will come. Hallelujah. So I've talked to people about helping them and about things. And, you know, a lot of times people want me to pray in spite of their unbelief. Well, I can't do that. My faith can't trump your doubt and unbelief for your own situation. Nobody has more authority and say over their own life than you. And so if you're coming to me to pray to believe with you or to pray for you for money, I'm going to make sure you're praying for the money first and believing it. And if you're not, that's what I'm going to tell you. Get into the Word on these verses. Read these over and over again until you're so convinced. That's what I did with that tuition. That's what I did in that financial test and trial. What was I doing? I was renewing my mind to the Bible.
Yeah.
Renewing my mind to the Bible. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, and this is the confidence. It's kind of like a song we sang, right? This is the confidence I have. Right? That's what that verse is about, the prayer of faith. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, you could say it this way, anything according to what He has said.
Right.
If He said it and you ask it, notice you have to ask what He said though.
Yeah.
You have to release your faith of what He said.
Yeah.
Just because what he said is not going to automatically come to pass in your life, you have to cooperate or plug in, right? It says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Praise God. Just a quick example. When we were believing God for a house, how many of you know there's lots of houses out there? Well, I can stand in faith that God has a house for me. And I can stand in faith that God has a house for me that meets the desires of my heart. That's Word of God stuff. But I can't go around to everybody's house that's already occupied. Ooh, I like that one. I'm claiming that one by faith. People tried that at Rhema with spouses. See a person on the side of the street. Ooh, they look good. I think I'd like to. I claim them as my spouse. You can't do that. There's other people involved. Now, if you're walking down the street and you're single, and you're working at a workplace or someone in a church, and God says to you in your heart, that person is your wife. That person is your, you can get your faith on it. Or in the midst of when you're looking for a home, and someone's already living there, but then God says, this house is yours, then you can put your faith on it. Until those, a lot of times, a lot of these prayers are just general things, but then with specifics when it comes to a vehicle or something, you can't just say, oh, man, Vinny, I really like your car. I'm in prayer, I'm going to secretly kick that away from him. I'm going to pray with a prayer of faith and believe God to give that up. That's, you can't do that. Hallelujah. You just can't. Now, if God said to me, Vinny's car is mine, well, then something's going to, God's got to start talking to him, right? And it would be wrong. It's just like if someone said to someone, your spouse, you walk up to him and say, God told you, you're supposed to bury me. Well, you just probably ruined the whole thing right there because they're going to think you're a Looney Tune. And they're going to go away from you. Right? And so it's the same thing. Like when I met with that lady to give our pitch for the house, I already knew it was my home. I knew it was in her name. It was impossible financially, but I knew it was mine because God said it. And I used the prayer of faith for that. But I was using the prayer of faith before that on just a general house. But then God, you know, I found out. See, the Holy Ghost will lead us into everything. But this is the confidence that we walk out of prayer knowing, got it. Got it. Praise God. That's why I was talking to somebody on the phone this week. And they were talking about the prayer of faith, and it was a lady that's single. I said, use this for your spouse. Use this for your spouse. It's the will of God. If you want to be married, you can be married. The Bible says so. And it's God's will that you have a godly person. Use your faith to bring somebody in. Oh, they were so excited. Praise God. Use it for whatever need there is. So that was number one. Paul was solid in the word and what God had said. He was solid in it. He knew God was telling the truth. Second thing, and this will be the place where we'll stop. He was solid in his place with God. He was solid in the Word and what the Word said, but he was solid in his place with God, or his relationship, or you could say, how do I want to say it? I guess place is the best way I can put it. Where he was, where his standing with God, I guess you could say. His standing with God, he was solid in that. Now, let me just point this out to everybody. If boldness is required, right? If boldness is required to get what we need, which means we got it when we pray it, what kills boldness more than a guilt consciousness or a sense of condemnation? There's no greater boldness killer or faith killer than condemnation or a guilt consciousness. Let me use this example with police officers in the church here tonight. Aren't you glad for our police officers? Praise. We have the safest church in New York State. Praise God. In the world. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been driving down the road on the thruway? And this happens to me all the time on 86. There's a spot where police officers are sitting and I'm driving. I get off the Jamestown exit and I drive and it's right before the Randolph and even the Kennedy exit. There's a little spot where they sit. And, you know, with a radar gun. And have you ever driving by, and you come around the corner, and boom, you see the police officer. And you know they got the gun on you, and so you know, oh, I hope I'm going a good speed. And you look down, maybe it's a 65 mile, well, let's just find out, how fast can we go, guys? So, how can we go? See, can you give up that information and help us here tonight? Ooh, 77. All right. Is he telling the truth, Jim? Really? So really anything above 77, we're in trouble. Okay. Well, that's more than I thought. Oh, I'm going to start leaving later for church now. I won't blame you guys. Although a police officer did stop at my house the other night to ask about a pistol permit. So, his first name started with a J. I can't remember, but his last name was Conti. He said he sat by both of you guys. John. Yeah. Wow. Praise the Lord. He had good things to say about you guys. So praise God. He stopped to ask about a pistol permit. I just have such great respect for police officers. But anyway, you come around the corner, you see it, you know they got you. And then you look down. What's our first thing we do? We look to see how fast we're going.
Yeah.
And let's say you look down and you see you're going 68 miles an hour. Well, you know in a 65 they're not going to pull you over. And what happens? You drive by confidently.
Yeah.
You drive by knowing nothing's going to happen, right?
That's right.
But
right.
Now, see, I always thought it was, I don't know who told me this is. See, I heard this. 9, you're fine. 10, you're mine. Is that true or no? Speed. I guess not. 77, right? That's 12. Hallelujah. I'm so happy right now. But maybe I'll just keep it at 75 just to be safe, you know. Maybe get someone that's not feeling the same vibe. I mean, these guys are filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in love here. We don't know what the other guys are doing, but or the ladies. So anyways, let's say and you drive in, and let's just say you're going 80 in a 65. And you didn't even realize. How many of you ever just been driving, you don't realize what you're doing? Maybe the music's going loud, or you're just, I mean, we've all been there. And then, boom, you see, you make the contact with the car, and you know he's got the gun on you. And you see, you looked out at your speed, and you see 80, and you know you're doing something wrong. When you're driving down past him, there's a different way you feel that way than if you know you're doing right and going like 68. There's a different way you feel. It's the same thing with God. When people go to God with a sense of guilt or condemnation, they go differently than somebody goes to him knowing, I belong here, I am white as snow, I've been made worthy. Do you see what I'm saying? The boldness level changes dramatically. All based on what somebody's guilt consciousness is. When I drive by, I'm going 68. I might just out of habit check my rear view, but I'm not like constantly looking like you would be if you're an 80. You know what I'm talking about. Constantly looking, just hoping those lights don't turn on, hoping he's not pulling out, right? It changes things. It's the same thing with God. And for Paul to say that, we knew Paul was bold. Hebrews, or Acts 26 and verse 1. Acts 26 and verse 1. Now remember, we'd like to preach for about an hour, and I have not hit the hour mark of the preaching. Actually, right now, we'd just be starting worship. So I still got that whole couple songs to preach. Because it's 7:35. We probably started worship about 6:35. So we'll be done within an hour. I try to keep it an hour. But Acts 26 and verse 1, let's see. This is when Paul stood before King Agrippa testifying. Now, to save time, let me see where I want to bring it down to. Verse 9. He's testifying of what he used to do to Christians. I don't know if many people know this. It's amazing what God can do with somebody that is submitted and changed by him.
Yeah,
he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Now, I always like to bring out to the surface the dramatic scene that would have been taking place. Families like you have, with children, Christians, loving God in their homes, just serving Jesus and loving Jesus, he'd have people under his authority go in there with the kids there, yank mom and dad out just for being Christians and throw them in prison. Can you imagine the chaos and the tears and the emotion that would have been there? Paul says, I had them shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death for being Christians. That's it. Paul was in charge of this. He said, I gave my voice against them. What was he saying? I agree with what you're doing. What we're doing to these Christians, that's the writer of most of your New Testament. That's what he did in his former life. Wow. He said, I gave my voice against them. And it goes on, it gets worse. Verse 11. And I punished them often in every synagogue, going into the churches and wreaking havoc. Now notice this. And compelled them to blaspheme. Blaspheme means to speak against Jesus. How do you compel somebody to say something they don't want to say? It's called torture. He would torture innocent people who just love Jesus to get them to publicly say, I don't love the Lord, or I'm not of His, I don't want anything to do with Him. That's your writer of most of the New Testament. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Wow. So, Paul says all that. He was Saul when he was doing all that. A very bad man. A very bad man that did unspeakable things to innocent people. Broke up families. I mean, I know what would happen in my home if someone came in and, you know, people that had authority to, I mean, I'd kick and scream, but they'd get enough people in there to get you out easy, right? And what Courtney's reaction would be and what the kids' reaction would be to see that. It would be horrible. So Paul did that, was in charge of all that, was running the show with all that, compelling them. Who knows if he was just giving orders to torture, was doing it himself. But either way, he's doing horrible things. And now go with me to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. This is important in your boldness to receive from Jesus. Because nothing kills boldness more than a sense of guilt or condemnation. This is Paul writing, receive us. Receive us. What's the next line say? We have wronged no man. What? Wait a minute. We just read about you wronging a whole lot of men and women. Pre-Jesus, post-Jesus, Paul says, I've wronged nobody. I've wronged nobody. Do you think that Paul could have said all the promises yes and amen, been that bold with Jesus if he didn't have a revelation of something about his standing with God? He was bolder than bold can be, but we get a look into this that what his standing with God was, I've done nothing wrong. And I can write to you in the same book in a few chapters earlier that all the promises of God are yes and amen. They're waiting for me. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 in the same book. He wrote, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. New. He said, I'm brand new. I'm new. Verse 21, for he's made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we would be made. You can't even argue with it. You're made that way. The righteousness of God. Paul said, I don't associate myself with my past and all my wrongdoings. I only associate myself with what the Word says I am, which is righteous. Other people might not, and even other Christians might have a bitterness and a grudge against him of families that were affected. But he says, I have a revelation of who I am in Jesus. Wow. Praise God. Philippians 3, we don't have to turn there. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Right? Reaching forth unto those things, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. We're almost done here. These are pretty much all the verses we're going to go to, and then I'm going to just say something. It says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. One translation says, godly sorrow leads you to repentance. When you miss God and miss it, I hope that we have tender hearts in here. And that when you sin against the Father, whatever way you do, I hope that you feel bad about that. I hope that your heart breaks when you miss God. When you didn't do the Word or didn't do what He said to do. That's a godly thing, godly sorrow. It says that leads you to do what? To repent. When David messed up, we see in some of the Psalms, he's just crying out to God for forgiveness. He just felt so bad. Well, it leads you to repentance, but see, when you repent, the Bible says, well, go there real quick, 1 John 1, 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Now, this is written to Christians, because some people might say, well, yeah, that happened at the new birth, but since the new birth, I've lived like the devil. Well, if you have, there's forgiveness for you. Now, we're not just talking about blatant sins. We're talking about failures and mistakes, too. Like, that maybe aren't sins, but where you messed up and missed it. Maybe cost your family a little bit or set yourself back. We're talking about those things, too, here. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, when you were born again, what were you made? The righteousness of God. Perfection you were made. So now when you sin, the blemishes come on you. Well, when you do this verse, the blemishes are removed, and then what remains? The righteousness of God. So when you ask for forgiveness for your mess-ups and your miss-ups, you are now righteous, kind of like the shirt that goes to the dry cleaner with the ketchup stain on it. That looks horrible. It sticks out like a sore thumb. But when you get it back, you can't find it on there. It was there, but it's gone. It's been blotted out. Didn't he say in Isaiah 43, I, even I, am He who blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Well, we're to be imitators of God. If He doesn't remember our sins, we're not to remember our sins. Now, they'll come to us, but we don't live according to those thoughts.
Amen.
That's how you do it. And by the way, the more you're in the Word, the more you're praying in tongues, the more those thoughts of past failures and accusations will wane and wane. There's things that I've done in my past that I lived in such a pit of condemnation that in that time, I would have thought, there's no way I'll be free from this. And they don't even touch me anymore. It's like it never even happened to me. Well, that's the supernatural healing of God and the renewing of the mind of the Word. Praise God. So godly sorrow leads to repentance. My point is, once you repent, you don't have to be sorrowful about it anymore. Now, the world might try to make you feel bad. Your family might try to make you feel bad. Friends might try to make you feel bad. But you don't have to feel bad about what you did anymore. When you repent to God, hallelujah, it's over with. Hallelujah. So I want to say this about boldness. Before we go tonight, every single person in this room, anything that's still dogging your mind, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's with a job, whether it's with another person, every single thing that's still coming against you, that's making you feel unworthy, that when you go to receive from God, that pops up, let's get it taken care of once and for all. And let's repent and move on as if it never happened and go to a place with Him of boldness. You know, not to keep talking to you know, about police things, but think about this way. When you go through a traffic stop, you know, and they have the lights set up and the police officers are maybe checking for some, whatever, you know, seatbelts, register, whatever, and maybe there's something in the area that happened and they have to look. If you're innocent and you have your seatbelt on and your car's up to date and your registration and your insurance and you don't have any illegal things in the vehicle, I don't have a problem going through those things. Roll down the window, how you doing, sir? How you doing, ma'am? What? How can I help you? And then, oh, go on. Well, I'm free. I didn't get nervous about it. But when I maybe come across there and didn't have my seatbelt, you're struggling to get it on, or you know your car is passed, or maybe you're driving on expired license or whatever, right? Or maybe nobody in here, but you have wrong things in your vehicle. Those people do not go through that line as boldly. So you got to get whatever's in your car spiritually with God that's bad, you got to get it out. So when you go through the line with God, you are confident as can be. Well, let's do it. Let's take advantage of that then. If forgiveness is there every time you miss it, every time you failed, get it gone. So then when you're driving through that blessing line of God, you have nothing to worry about. You go there like you know you belong. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. So Paul, for him to be as bold as he was, had to know his standing because he had a lot of baggage that he had to get rid of out of his car before he went through that line. Or he would have went with that blessing line, and God, as the police officer, would have opened the window, looked in, and said, what's that you did to Christians? What's all that? But see, Paul already got rid of that baggage. So now when he goes to God, God looks in there and says, oh, I see white as snow. Looks good in there, Paul. Go through. Go through the blessing line. Isn't he good? Take advantage of him, of what he says he'd do for you. Go through the line. Oh, wait, it's hard to bless you there. And see, and I'll say this to end. This is why we have to get to a place where the things we do struggle with, we're working to get them out of our life. Because we can repent. If we've missed it a million days in a row, we can repent and be free. But if you go back into walking into that wrong living and that sin, you are going to have to constantly battle condemnation. You're constantly going to have to keep battling it, and the devil's going to keep giving you thoughts. That's why it's important. Those areas where we're missing it, repent for them, but then go forward in a place of getting help for them. How? Renewing your mind, praying in the Spirit. Renewing your mind, building yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Those areas where you're struggling to miss it, love walk, addictions, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is with people, that's how those things get fixed. Renewing of the mind and building yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Because you're just giving the devil an avenue. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. He will hammer you and hammer you and hammer you and hammer you and hammer you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. What I'm going to do right now is the leading of the Spirit. I'm going to put a song on and we're going to turn it up. If you need to spread out so people next to you don't hear. But listen, we're not, no baggage out of here. Our spiritual cars are going to be empty tonight. Every single thing that you feel bad for, that you beat yourself up, we're going to throw it in the ditch. So when we go through the line, it ain't in there. It's going to be gone tonight. But I'm going to put on a song because we're not doing this, because you do have to confess it. You do have to talk to him. You can't just, well, God knows what I want to be sorry for. No, we have to do what the Bible says. Confess your sins. So if you want to spread out so people don't hear, whatever, but I'll put a song on loud enough. Just simply tell God what you've done. Ask him to forgive you where you've missed it, where you've messed up. Accept the freedom that he gives you. Empty that car out and then go to him in boldness. Hallelujah. Just begin to worship him right now until we get the song on. Hallelujah. He's so faithful and so good. I'm just not sure. Sure, if I can, let me make sure it gets there. Let's see here. Praise you, Jesus. I'll tell you what to do with up or down, but probably. We're going to have it kind of loud, Heather, so if you could keep turning it up, that'd be good. Hallelujah. If you're listening by live stream, I am going to turn my mic off for a second so I can talk with Father, and then we'll turn it back on after. Hear my prayer, Lord. bless you tonight for freedom. Hallelujah. You can look up here. There's no reason anymore now. No reason why we have any baggage in our vehicles. It's gone. We take him at his word tonight that he said what he meant. Or he meant what he said. I mean, that we believe what he said. And we take him at his word that if we confess, he's faithful. He's not unfaithful. He's faithful to whatever you just talked to him about. That it's gone, that you don't have to live your life according to that anymore. And if it's something that's a constant struggle for you, you use his help by the renewing of the mind of the word and the going forth and the power of the Spirit to get that thing taken care of. And from this place on, every time that that thing that you just got rid of tries to dog you, tries to tell you, and when you go to place a prayer, you're just going about your business and that thing comes up, you say no. How many times would Paul have gotten thoughts? He had to become skillful in forgetting. You say, nope, nope, that thing's been blotted out. It's like it never happened to me. I don't receive that devil. Because he's going to come back at you, but you got to just answer him. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful. And the last thing I want to say is we're going to close the service here tonight. But it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we're praying for this election. There is so much that is hanging in the balance of who becomes the next president of the United States. And regardless of your feelings on it or what you think should or who you think it should be or what you think, we better get God's person in office. And so I'm asking you to be responsible as faithful people to set aside a few minutes a day of praying to God in English about the right person and requesting that, but then praying in tongues. Taking a little bit of time, whether it's 5 minutes, you set a timer, just to strictly pray in tongues for the election. 10 minutes. If we would all do that, 5-10 minutes a day, and you add that up, along with other people in the body of Christ that are banging down the walls of heaven, that God would hear and do the right, and the right person would get in. We need to do our part. Let's do our part. So make sure that from this night, I mean, that's actually one of the things I repented for, was not being as faithful as I should have with praying for this election. And I'm not ashamed to admit that, because we all have our stuff, right? And just told the Lord, I'm sorry, I've been apathetic towards it. I've kind of been in going in streaks, you know, and it's too important to lay it by the wayside. So let's make a commitment to God to pray, because God can't do anything on the earth till people pray. Amen? Amen. Let's praise him one last time, because it's always fun to praise God. Thank him for what he's given us. The prayer of faith, ooh, we're going to be so skillful in it. We're going to know what you've said, and we're going to know who we are, and we're going to get what you've said we can have, because your promises are yes. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Praise God.